Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, it's episode 407. We're well into the 400s. That's a lot of episodes, you guys. And I want to welcome you to the party, pal. And we got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to kind of run through stuff kind of fast because, you know what, fall starts tomorrow and Matt says that he has to go buy some new sweaters and he has to get ready for fall. He said he's got to run by Starbucks and get his,
pumpkin spice? I'm not a coffee drinker, but yeah, that's everywhere.
Come on. You're always talking about that. Pumpkin. See, you can tell I'm not because I don't even know the name of it.
I was in a store the other day.
Latte.
And there was Christmas stuff already out. I was like, what? And in my head, I'm always like, it's like, it. First of all, two things. Like, I have a birthday coming up, and I always like birthday, and then there's a holiday season. And my birthday hasn't come up yet. So I was like, why is there Christmas stuff? And SEMA, I was like, well, SEMA, like right after SEMA, like SEMA's like right around Halloween, right? Kind of Halloween right. Kind of kicks off.
Yeah, SEMA some years week. It falls on Halloween.
And then it's Thanksgiving and Christmas and all, and New Year's, it all happens quickly. I was like, but we're not even near SEMA yet. Like people are still texting going, I don't know what car I'm going to have in my booth yet. I was like, yeah, it's that SEMA. It's kind of getting toward that SEMA crunch. So anything sort of Christmas or Thanksgiving related before SEMA to me is just like, it's too early.
When I was growing up and you guys were growing up, it was like set. It was like, okay, you got through this and then this came out. Now they just kind of overlap. And I mean, it's crazy when you see them taking like summer stuff away, like the beginning of August, and they're already starting to put out Halloween, you go, wait a minute, you know, and like you said, now it's Christmas stuff is out there and I haven't made my list of Santa yet. Come on, I don't want him to get inundated.
So you should get yourself some gas money and a Corvette Z06.
No kidding. Hey, so I want to tell you guys, I was really, really excited to talk about this. On a past show, I told you that my buddy, I told the whole story. Go back two episodes if you haven't heard it, because I'm not going to get into all that today, but about how it was on Bring a Trailer, the Van Halen Hot for Teacher car, and my buddy grabbed it. First of all, the car was in remarkable condition. We were flabbergasted. The interior doesn't have any wear. It didn't start when they first got it, but his mechanic found the problem. It was just a little bitty problem. And it runs great. It's in really good condition. So that was a bonus. You know, he was so thrilled. And this is a guy who regularly buys $500,000 charity cars, not for what the car is. And it's, you know, to give, you know, great things to charity. So when he got this for like $30,000 or whatever, he was just tickled. He was like, wasn't about that, you know? So up, he gets the car. He got it in time to get it all detailed, have it placed in his 60,000 square foot museum collection. And it was perfect timing because he does an annual charity event. Now, I don't want to bring the bummer factor here, but his son was killed in the shootings in Las Vegas. You know,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his son had taken his daughters there, and they heard the shots ring out. He grabbed them, and they fell to the ground, and they thought he was pushing them down. He had actually been shot and died immediately. And so he did a children's charity and a scholarship fund in his son's name, and it's called Tommy's Angels. But that's what he does every year, and he does it. So last year, I reached out to Mike, and I bought a bass guitar exactly like what he uses on stage, and then Mike signed it, personalized it. We did a bunch of photos of him, and we took it and did really great. I mean, we were really happy with the generosity of everyone. Now, this year, I asked Mike and Sue to come along because the car was going to be there. Because when we talked about it last year, Mike goes, man, next time, let me know. And if I'm not out on the road, I'd love to go. So Mike was real generous. And as Aaron knows, they just released a new 4-box set live right here, right now. And they
really
did a limited edition of 4 albums in red vinyl. And
these
were all numbered. They were limited. And so Mike goes, how about if I bring that? Do you think it'd be an... I go, Mike, you're going to be there. If you go up and you talk about it and you offer to autograph it and do photos with the people afterwards, I'm sure it'll do really well. So that's what he brought along with a case of his hot sauce. We did the hot sauce in the, it was everything. It was a variety pack. His mustard, his hot sauce, barbecue sauce, everything.
Yeah. The mustards are good, by the way.
They are good. Charlotte does some good cooking with that mustard. And so when we got there, Mike goes, hey, Brad, don't let me forget. In the back of my car, I brought one of those box sets for you. And I said, oh, bitchin'. I said, thank you. He goes, we'll get it out of the trunk when we're leaving. I said, okay, cool. So we go in. And
couple cocktails later, Brad's Bradley underscore Fanshawe's walking home without his box set.
So we go in, they place the variety hot sauce in the silent auction area, and they decide, hey, since you're gonna come up and everything, can we do it as a live item? Mike goes, yeah, sure. So time comes around, Mike comes up and now. I'm going to tell you, it was a nice house of people. I mean, there were a lot of Barrett Jackson customers there, people we know from the Skybox. There were a couple senators there. There was the pitcher from the Angels. I mean, there was some great people there. And so we go up, and they had a helicopter ride in the Orange County Sheriff's helicopter, and they bid that. And then Tom has a box at the Angels Stadium, and he did a limo ride, dinner, and you get the whole box for the night. And that went for great money. And then Mike comes up, and they tell what it is. They do everything. And the album starts. Opening bid was $1,000. And then it went up. Then it went up. Then it went up. Then it went up. Wow. Got to $9,000.
Oh, my gosh. That's wow. Great.
And I looked at Charlotte, and I said, hold on a second. And I told her what I was going to do. And she goes, yeah, do it. So I walk up, I hold my hand up, and I walk up and I say to Mike and Tom, who does this charity and who's our friend, he goes, well, Brad and Mike are conspiring on something. And he goes, don't wait too long, because we got two bidders that are hot in the throes here. And I said to Mike, I go, Mike, that set you had for me, I said, give it to the charity. I said, because we got two guys willing to pay $9,000.
Yeah.
I said, I'd much rather have that money go to the kids. And he goes, really? Are you sure? And I go, yeah. And so I look at Tom and I tell him, and he goes, okay, you guys, here's the deal. You each bid $10,000, and there's a set for each, because Brad's giving his. And so Tom got another $1,000 out of each of them. And so $20,000 for two Van Halen albums.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I mean, how cool is that?
Good.
That was, yeah. I mean, the people were so generous, and that was on top of everything. Yeah,
well,
else
good there. On you guys too, you and Mikey and everybody that donated stuff. That's fantastic.
I mean, you know, hey, don't get me wrong. I would have loved to have had that and had it, you know, but you know,
it's on eBay for $11,000. You can buy it.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll be honest. I couldn't write a check for $10,000 to that kid's charity, but I could do that. So that was cool. It was really neat. And I love how people get so generous when it's something they're really into and they get to meet the person on top. Yeah. And we've talked about that here on the show before. And the year that we helped your dad, Aaron, sell the Shelby over at Barrett Jackson, that was one of the things I told him. I said, Sammy, you have to be there. Well, I don't know. I don't, because you know how he doesn't like going to a place where there's just a crowd and it's not like his show. And I said, no, you got to be there. And I talked to Renata and, you know, and he came and he realized why afterwards. And, you know, it was proof in the pudding. And, you know, people want, if they're going to buy something, they'll pay more for it if the person's there. They're buying.
Absolutely.
It. And evidence of that was the year that Eddie Van Halen's truck that we built at Boyd sold. It didn't go for nearly what it should have if Eddie would have been there, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, anyways, no, that's really true. I love when charity auctions do that, when they say, well, tell you what, you two bidders, we'll match it. We'll do two. And it's always a win-win for everybody. Yeah. I love it when that happens. It happens at our rally every year. But we get one, if sometimes even two of those opportunities with some of the wineries. And it's really, they're like, yeah, we'll throw in another one. It's so cool. I love seeing it.
It's great. And the guy actually came up and thanked me. He goes, thanks for doing that. He goes, I wanted that so bad. And he goes, I was kind of like getting to where I was. All right, I'm going to have to jump out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good, it's a good move because two people who do want it get the opportunity to win it, which is
everybody
better.
Everybody wins.
And they knew we were.
We've seen it at Barrett where somebody goes $500,000 into a charity car and then says, I'm giving it back. Keep the bidding going.
Do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Do it again. So he's just donating $500,000 to the charity.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And doing it again. Yeah. But I mean, and you can do that if you have the means. You can still donate $500,000 to the charity. But you're right, to do it under the fanfare and at the party like that and in front of the audience, chances are they're always going to get more money out of you for that charity than you would have if you were just at home writing a check with your accountant going, what do we need to do this year? You know,
how much this year?
You know, and you know, like doing it at a live event is always so much more fun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
especially when they're liquored up.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the guys came up to me and he goes, I thought that was kind of bullshit at first. He goes, you guys had two all the time. He goes, but then when Mike had to go down to his car to get it out, to give it to the guy, he goes, I kind of knew that it was real, you know. But it was cool. Mike signed and we got photos of him signing. And then we put him in the car with Mike, the Hot for Teacher car, and took photos of him. So he, you know, kind of played, you know, made it, you know, well worth their thing. And,
yeah.
And hopefully next time they'll, you don't want to do the same thing on whatever we find, but
now you got to up it for next year. I don't know what you're going to do.
I know it's
you're going to do a win Brad shit live at the event.
So next year we'll have to get Aaron to do an original painting for them or something.
Oh yeah, I would love to.
But yeah, it's awesome.
By the way, this is this event because I was on your Instagram, Bradley_Fanshawe. and looking at the photos of the event, but you know, going to your social media, because you haven't been to that location in a while, but you've always talked about your Motion Vega, and you finally put a picture up of the Motion Vega because it's sitting there like it's in a, you know, in a Disney World display, as opposed to under a cover of a boxes stacked on it, covered in dust, in a warehouse in Arizona someplace.
It's in the best home because
it's totally in the best place.
They clean the cars, they drive the cars, they tune the cars, they do everything, you know. It's
yeah, but now if you guys want to see it, you can see it up there.
It's and the and this museum he has where he does the charity at one end of the second floor of the museum, he has the actual set from the first 10 seasons of what was the one with Ryan Seacrest where they do the performances? What's that TV show?
American Idol.
He went to a charity thing and they were selling the entire set And so he bought it, had it transferred there and set back up. And at first I was like, why would you buy that? And now that I see it set up in there, wow, is it impressive and cool. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so that was fun, like Matt said. And I think we threw a shot of the car up in the museum, at Tom's Museum, on our social media, Shift and Steer also. But hey, guys, I found something out. They had a Radwood Detroit. This is just a real quick little side note. And at Radwood Detroit, they showed an SUV section.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A pickup truck section. So I thought, now Matt can bring his F-150 to Radwood.
Sweet.
I could bring my Yukon XL. What do you got that would fall in there, Aaron? Your Farfugnugen?
Yeah, right. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know.
I think maybe the Farfugnugen.
There's a Radwood coming up in Chandler, Arizona, October 14th. That's coming up pretty soon.
That's real soon, yeah.
Yeah. I think I've already doing something, but I couldn't imagine trying to drive my 95 Lightning out to Arizona.
Oh, come on. Just put it on cruise control, man.
It does have cruise control, actually. That probably would work, but would it make it? It might make it. It would probably be pretty loud and uncomfortable.
Put it on a trailer behind your electric truck, and how many times would you have to stop to charge it?
Oof, probably.
Now you're towing.
At least.
And there's some big hills.
Maybe three times. I'd have to stop three times.
No, and that'd be tough.
And you're assuming I could stop and there's an actual charger, but there's only one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It'd be tough because that time I was going to take the I-Pace, the Jaguar, to Arizona, I went on a map and it was like, okay, Quartzsite, Arizona, which is the halfway point. There's all these chargers, but they're all Tesla chargers.
Yeah.
There were two for other cars. Then there was a hotel at the border, and which is really only 50 miles, not even 50, I think 25 miles from Quartzsite. So you would have to stop in Palm Springs, top off, let's say, then go to Quartzsite, top off, then somewhere on the outskirts of Phoenix, find a truck stop or something that had a charger, I guess.
If you can do it. I just did. I did the CarCast podcast the other day with Alistair Weaver from Edmonds, and he went from LA to Monterey in a Rivian with his family, his two little kids and his wife. And he was like, what a disaster. He's like, he went to three different chargers. They were all out of order. And then he found one charger and there was like a Polestar plugged into it. And he can see on the screen, it was 90% charged. And the guy would like his wife or like in the car or something. And he's like, hey, you know, this is the only charger that's working. And you see you're at 90%. Would you mind, you know? And the guy's like, the wife and I are watching a documentary. We'll leave when it's done.
Oh, my God.
That is the problem. Or they plug it in, leave and go shopping or do whatever and come back. I mean, the one by my house, when I've had press cars and I've taken it down there, there's people that just park and don't come back till morning. And I think I told you the story. I think it was when I had the I-Pace. I went down there and there was some guy had parked in the place with like a Toyota pickup truck. It wasn't even and so I came back an hour later, it was still there. So I took the cord, I backed the car in at a little bit of an angle, took the cord, put it over the hood of his truck and plugged it in. And I just was waiting for him to come back and he did. And I go, dude, this isn't there weren't any other parking places. What'd you do? Put that across my head. I go, well, don't worry. It's not going to scratch that hood. You know, I mean, it was like, but it was just, it is a problem. And you know what's funny? We, all of us have been discussing this on this show. Matt, you've been talking about it.
Yeah.
And for years now. And now it seems like it's all catching up. Like the head of Ford did that F-150 trip and he came back and he goes, well, it's not for everybody yet. You know, and then the head of the governmental agency that is in charge of everything did the same, tried to do one and got stranded and, you know, it's like, okay, well, we're still working on the infrastructure. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of...
Well, I was going to say it was Rich Rebuilds too. I think that did the Rivian from New York to Florida or something. And he's like, there was a whole state that didn't have any chargers. He was like, you can't do it. He had to go around.
It's getting there. Like it's going to take, you know, like we said, it's going to take a few more years. It's going to get there. But anyway, on the topic of Radwood. Yeah. Arizona is going to be a little far, but in November, mid-November, the 11th, there is San Pedro, Port of Los Angeles. There is a Radwood. So yeah.
Isn't that where they did the very first one was the Port of Los Angeles?
Was it? I don't remember.
I believe so. In that big warehouse.
I think it might have been there. So yeah. we might want to talk about that.
Yeah, we should check that out.
I don't have anything that I think would be fun and nostalgic to take. You know, I mean, it's like everything's either so much older or anything that I have that's kind of 70s would be like the Pinsgauer. It's like, well, that's not interesting to take to Radwood. You know,
unusual, and you could park it on top of somebody's other car.
Yeah, but it doesn't have like the sunset rainbow or whatever on the sign. It's not.
Does your dad have anything in SoCal? Because this wouldn't be that far.
Well, he's got his 308, but that's going into the early 80s. You know, the Magnum PI kind of look. But no, I don't think he really. No, I mean, it's like when I think of Radwood, I think of like an old station wagon or something.
Drive down here. We'll go out and find you a Buick Electra to drive.
Yeah.
Redwood does get a handful of like 80s Ferraris, yes. Porsches.
Yeah. It's like, I would want to go full nostalgia, you know?
I don't know. It seems kind of maybe it's also just fun to walk around and check out
a pacer station wagon or a Gremlin station wagon, you know, I mean, gold, brown lure.
Like, you want to go and you kind of want to go ironically, but you know, yes, but bringing the Lightning, or if you bring something cool, like I got the SAC Mustang. I mean, I don't really drive it, but, and you know, it's 80s and 90s. That's 92. Like, I'm pretty sure you won't see another one there. They only made a handful of those goddamn things.
So they have a whole SAC Mustang section.
Well, good. Then maybe I'll go down there and trade stories. I mean, sell.
The Defender's a 93 and it's pretty rad. So maybe. You
know. Actually, that would be. No, because listen, it's 1980 to 1999.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So the Defender would actually be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And my Mini Cooper too, because it's a 99. It's a / 70.
You probably gotta fix the turbo on that.
My turbo came yesterday. So cool. I get to put that together and I might try to do that today. Fuck it. I might try to do that today.
I was gonna say you got big Friday plans project. For the weekend.
Hey, and if you drive there. You get to pay what was the last gasoline price any of you saw?
Honestly, I just saw something that was like $6.99 for the 91 octane. It was like $6.50 something for the
$6.45 a gallon for regular at the station that I normally go to. Yeah, that's right, everyone who lives not in California. $6.45 a gallon.
Yeah,
I know it's gone up recently, and I was in Detroit like 2 weeks ago, but Detroit was half what it is now. It was three something. I mean, I don't know what it is now, but yeah, it was half as much. So
Tahoe's the same, $5.89 for regular, $6.39 for premium, and a whopping $6.60 for diesel. Like, when is diesel more than premium?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it used to be pennies. And now it's the most expensive.
It's ridiculous, man. The world runs off diesel. And it's like, really? You're going to jack it up over premium? Come on.
I would like to be a farmer or a truck driver or
I found out on our last trip that they have special gas. But still, it's ridiculous. You know, farmers, I didn't know this. Farmers have a different grade of diesel that's considerably less.
Not much, though.
Yeah. Well, depending on the state. Yeah, of course. I came from Alaska where it's considerably less.
Alaska.
it's nuts. It's just
well, it's high everywhere. And I want to talk real quick about a couple ideas. pretty much every state has this now, which is your local grocery store. I know my wife turned me on to this, and it's been awesome. She shops at Ralph's grocery store, which is owned by Kroger. So it's named different things in different areas, but it is a, you know, nationwide chain, and they have reward points. So for every dollar she spends, you get reward points. Then she found out if she grocery shops on Fridays, it's 4 times points. Mm-hmm. Last time I went to fill up, I put in the code, $1 off a gallon.
Wow. We only get 50 cents max.
Yeah. I thought it was here in LA. I thought it was 20 cents max you can earn.
No, that's at like Shell and stuff where you can, you know, but see, this is at Shell stations. I know Chevron does it with Vons and like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Ralph's does not have a max. Now it'll average most time between 50 and 80 cents, but she had spent more, you know, so it was, and then, now this is my little hack, is that, have you guys ever heard of the, it's called, okay, sorry, I've got to look it up on my phone because I can't remember.
Well, while you're looking it up on your phone, I bought
Upside. Upside, yeah, I use the Upside
groceries for $250. So
yeah,
so
it's you know,
if you guys do what I do now, this is actually really this is a really good hack. Is I go to the Shell station on Saturday and I use Charlotte's phone number and I get the discount that you guys use,
which her number is 714. So, but no, the hack is that at Shell station you can double hit it. So I get my Ralph's dollar off, and then I do the app and
for it, Upside. Yeah. When you check in at Upside, you get,
and it's anywhere from at Shell at the one by me. It's, and you got to check because some, you might be at one station and it's 5 cents. Excuse me. And down the street, it's 20 cents.
And it's different on the grade of fuel. Sometimes it's better for premium fuel than it is for the regular. Yeah.
Well, like the other day I got 20 cents off a gallon from Upside, which is a rebate that goes to my PayPal card. And then the dollar off comes off immediately. But it was $1.20 a gallon. That's good no matter when, but especially when it's $6.45.
Yeah. Gallon. Also, though, make sure you're filling up, because if you're going to get the discount, you don't want to discount on 5 gallons.
And, you know? And depending on the card, too, because like ours up here, I put in my American Express because I get cash back on that and that for double or triple for fuel and groceries, but it's got $100 cap. So at the gas prices, that $100 cap doesn't fill up my tank.
Okay. Here's the hack.
You have to go inside and do it there. So
go inside the store and do it.
Like, I say,
when I use the codes in the Upside app, that's when I fill up my 95 light. There's 2 fuel tanks on that thing. And I'm pouring, I don't know, 36 gallons of fuel into that thing. And it, because it's supercharged, I go for the high grade. Right. I mean, I want to say the good stuff, but in California, we don't have good stuff.
Yeah,
I put the 91 in there and you're well into the 100+ range dollar wise,
you
know, before the discounts.
Well, I was thinking maybe tomorrow I could go over to the Shell station when she's got that dollar off and I could sell a fill-up to people for 50 cents off a gallon. 50 cents off a gallon on a fill-up per gallon might, you know, get somebody induced. And I just keep the pump going, right? And I make 50 cents a gallon, man.
Brad, you're going to be at the gas station tomorrow and you're going to try the code and it's not going to work. And you're going to text me like, son of a bitch, you use Charlotte's phone number again?
Exactly.
I was like, what happened to my discount? I'm like, thanks.
It's crazy that we got to use these hacks now because, or these codes and stuff. I mean, I've always used them, but it's never been as valuable as it is now.
So. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And now I have to say, thankfully, the Gladiator uses regular. I don't have to put premium in that. And then Misha's car we're getting rid of because it's a twin turbo. And she wants a Jeep as well. So we're going to try to find her a little two-door Jeep, which is harder than I thought. And that's going to use regular as well. So I have to say, it's all my old cars use regular. And then the Defender's diesel. But we're hoping to stick to, we're sticking to the regular stuff for a while.
Well, you better go out and hurry because I heard interest rates are going up again.
Oh, I'm not financing. I'm selling. I've got
just eight, sell
eight
just
vehicles
go.
For sale right now, and I got offers on three of them. So, if any of those prices sell, and we're in a much better place.
Yeah,
the strikes that are continuing on are raising car prices, and everyone has said, all of the executives, they go, all of this strike is going to go into the cost of the cars. So new cars can go up. And then I read an article about how used cars were just starting to dip a little bit. Now they're spiking back up because
everybody's lowballing me and I'm pissing me off.
Yeah. And they said that people are choosing to go to even older cars. Which is good for me because that's all I got.
That's all I got.
Me too.
But I'm not selling them, man, because we spoke last week about how the mics are all listening to us. And, you know, I can talk in my car.
Yeah, that's right.
I just take the chip out of my phone. Well, I put it in this little bag that seals it. I bought it online, you know. It's
like a lead pouch that you use.
So used cars are staying high and new cars are going to get higher. Interest rates are going to go up again. But where do we get joy, guys? And why do we? That's my question, is why do we get so excited and happy to see these car fails on TikTok and on social media, and especially when they're exotic car fails? You know, some guy who wipes out. I saw one yesterday that, and I've got to say, I went back to it like 50 times and it cut just at the wrong time. It was a Ford GT in Europe somewhere, and it had the most incredible stripe and gumball. And I was just, it was blurred. And then you saw the car, you know, before it almost wrecked. And I was like, I want to see this car. Where is this car? They didn't tag anybody. And I was like, it just had this really cool paint job on it. But it was a guy burning rubber on one of those cobblestone streets. And all of a sudden he must have hit some like weird cobblestones. Thing went sideways, headed right for a Mercedes park. He had to have missed it by an inch. And then he straightened it out, let off. And, you know, you could tell he was all tight. Oh, man. But the one I sent you the link on, some dealership had an angry customer.
I saw that. I watched it like five times.
The dealership had an angry customer? What?
So what'd you guys see on that video that I sent you?
So this is, I don't know how they got the footage of this, but someone's
literally just... It looks like maybe a security camera or something, because it looks like they were closed, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just someone is just filming a Corvette Z06, a new C8 Z06, on a lift in the service center of a dealer, and it just sits up on the lift. It's lifted up, you know, so someone can get underneath it, and then it just falls. It just, whatever the mount point is,
failed.
It just probably pushed through some carbon fiber or something, and then it fell. And then you could see like the lift like slices the bodywork.
Just rips it open like a can opener.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The thing is that it looked like it was the middle of the night, maybe, and like it was a security camera. And you can kind of see, I watched it back about four times, and you kind of see it just take a teeniest, like maybe an inch move, and then it goes. And it's like, it's probably been sitting there and the weight was just getting ready to transfer, and maybe a semi truck or a train went by, you know, I mean, it's like
shook the building a little bit. Well, how about that one that's been going around too, where the tow truck is pulling the Lamborghini off the side of the road and pulls it apart in half?
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
The whole it's kind of perpendicular to the road and it's off to the shoulder and like off the edge. And he goes to pull it from the front end of the whole front end, like seats and all, just separates from the rear end, and it just completely pulls it apart with shrapnel all down the middle.
Have you seen the one where the Lamborghini is on the dyno and its rear tire comes off?
Oh, man.
It comes off and it's in like this metal building with the dyno at one end. And the guy filming got it great because he followed it. I would have been, what? you know, but that thing goes shooting and it hits the far wall, bounces back, lands right on the very top edge of the windshield. Windshield shatters and the roof caves in. And I'm like, that's not a good day.
When you see these, you see the videos, but seeing it actually happen in front of you, and I probably told this story a few years ago, but I was on, I was at Willow Springs doing a track day, and I think I was out just, what was I driving? I think I was driving a Mustang. I think I brought my Mustang, and a friend had, you know, like a 65 Mustang race car. We were on streets of Willow, and I was behind a guy in a black Ferrari F430. And as we're just on the track, I see his driver's side rear tire start to come loose, and it starts bouncing in the wheel well, smashes all the metal in the wheel well. So screws up his fender. Then the wheel flies off, the car drops, and the rotor, the brake rotor, the ceramic.
Yeah.
Just digs into the asphalt like a fin. And this guy was like, what the hell happened? And my friend that brought his Mustang out, he had like the lowest trailer. So we needed to get his truck and trailer just to get that Ferrari off the track. Like there's nothing that we can get underneath it. We had to drag it like off the asphalt, and like he's like, just fucking drag it, just there's nothing you can do. We couldn't get a roller underneath it. It was like the rotor was like melted into the asphalt, so it was tough to lift, and like it was just a pain in the ass. So what happened was, this guy drove his car around, he had custom wheels on it, and he wanted to go to the track, so he went back to the wheel shop and he's like, put my stock wheels back on. And they did, but the F430 has staggered wheels. Brad, you're going to be very familiar with this story.
Yep.
Has staggered wheels, which means there are shorter lugs in the front, longer in the back. And when the installer put the wheels back on, he swapped the lugs. The short ones were in the back. So he drove to Willow Springs and he did a few laps, but just holding on by a few threads. And then just a few laps in, there was just not enough thread, even with torque behind those.
Well, yeah, because what happens is those lug nuts, even when they torqued them down, they were not seated up against, there might have been a 16th or an eighth of an inch between the seat, so it gave it enough room for that wheel to just keep, you know, just
it probably grabbed enough that the torque wrench or the gun you know, clicked right and didn't keep spinning. And then that was it. And then after his drive and the vibration and a few laps around the track, and what the it's bad enough that the wheel came off, but I was driving behind him and I saw the wheel start bouncing and start smashing the sheet metal around the wheel well.
Well, not to mention it's down on the belly pan in the back, and
I've got photos of it. It's terrible.
God, I mean, why is it though that those two post lifts, all the videos we see of cars falling off, it's because people just don't make sure. I mean, how many times have we seen the truck or the car or the hot rod or whatever, and it's down between those lifts, or we see it fall? I mean, they
honestly, it's somebody who's using the lift that doesn't know what they're doing. People think you could just throw the lift underneath the car and lift it. If you are not looking for jacking points under that thing, then you don't know how to use the lift. And to be honest with you, like on my Red Cobra, I did full length frame rails, right? I did the subframe connectors, just because if I ended up taking it someplace and someone's looking at it and it goes, I don't know what to do here, there's a full length rail. And on my 2021 Mustang, I put jacking rails in there. They're just bolt in and they hang down just a fraction of an inch below the carbon fiber, you know, side skirts and all that stuff. And anywhere along that side of the car, you can put the jack or the lift or whatever and lift it. Cause now there's jacking rails there. Cause I don't trust anybody to not have this same kind of mistake.
Professionals though, why have we seen on race cars, a big yellow area lift here, you know?
Listen, you're right. There's, some of the race cars that Adam has, there's like a box, like welded, right, you know, where in, you, yeah, where you put the, you know, and some of them have like square tubing, and there's a peg that goes in there, and that's a jacking point. Yep. You slide it in.
Another thing really that you don't see anymore is, like, on all my Mercedes I owned in the 80s, they always had a little in the front grill, a little element that would pull out, and back with your jack and everything was a little screw in loop for towing, you know, because they didn't want you to tow it and bend something, so they gave you that. They don't do that anymore, but you know, all
I mean, there's a lot of cars that still have them though, like the Mustang has it, and like FRS and Subaru, and there's a handful of like sports cars that have it. You're right.
What were you gonna
that's
say,
a little plastic piece with the tow hook that you can screw in.
Read your manuals is what I was going to say, because almost every car has different jacking points, and not every car is 50-50 weight distribution, so those jacking points may not be where you think they are. They may be more forward on the frame or more back on the frame, and there's often that there's a little tiny notch which often indicates where the jack point is, but you may need a specialty pad, like you said. You may need one with a post, or you may need one with a little square that fits in the side and lifts up the vehicle. All the Mini Coopers that I've ever gotten, the vintage ones, the wheel wells are trash because the wheelbase is so short on those. People don't know how to jack them up. I've had cars that you literally insert a little square into the side of the frame, and it lifts it up from the side. You know, I mean, it's just, you really have to know how to do that, because
if you think you know, but if you don't know for sure, then don't do it. But you brought a good point up about the weight distribution. You look at this video with the C8 Corvette, and you see how that car was up on the lift. That engine's in the back. There's no weight in the front, and it just collapses from the back, and it just tears apart. And then the shitty part is always when, you know, at the end of these videos where half the car is still up on the lift, and it's kind of, and you know, even if you lower it, they're like, there's no way we're not going to get more damage, because some other pole is going to, or it's going to flop on its side, and the window's going to shatter. Like, it's just, it gets worse from here. You watch the end of this video and you're like, oh, that car fell. It's still up on the lift. That sucks. Like, no, they're not done. Let's watch the second half as they try to bring that thing down.
Yeah, that's where the real carnage begins. I bet you that the jacking point for that Corvette is another couple inches back.
It is. So if you guys go to like Autoblog and you see the video with the article, they also posted the instructions of where the jacking points are.
Yes, I noticed that. Yeah.
I didn't scroll down. Yeah, it's a couple inches back. Look at that.
Well, look at those arms, how close together they are.
Yeah.
They were probably working on something in the back, which is very fortunate for whoever's working on the car that it didn't fall on him, you know.
But maybe
what we should develop, guys, is a cabling system that hangs by a beam above a two poster, so that if they ever have a fail of their jacking point, it cradles the car and keeps it suspended.
If you see a car falling off the lift, immediately run underneath it and try to hold it up.
Yes. Yeah. or reach for a broom and stick it underneath to keep it from falling.
Yeah. Right. Actually, now that you look at the instructions of where that pad is supposed to go and where it is on the lift, he's got it like where the back of the door is, and where it's supposed to be is real close to the front of the rear tire, where the point is. Yeah. He's got to be about, I don't know, it's tough to say because of the size of the car.
More maybe, like 5 or 6 inches.
I mean, he may be 13 inches too far.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, he won't do that again, at least at that dealership.
Yeah.
Man.
It's always horrible to see that stuff, because, you know, somebody, you know, they were like, oh, what happened? Oh, no. You know, it's like, and they probably said, oh, don't worry, we have a body shop here. We throw a little Bondo on that.
Of course, somebody at the dealer was like, oh, let's put this on YouTube.
Yeah.
Exactly. The security guy. Hey, I'm going to put this up on YouTube, man.
All right, guys, I got another meeting to jump into. So,
important than the Shift and Steer podcast?
Absolutely not. You guys can keep going for all I care.
No,
talk all day.
It's
although
Friday,
I'm pretty sure Aaron's going to go swap turbos.
Door, and I've got Ricky Martin on vacay. So I agree. We got to go. But we had a good show. It was fun. It was interesting. Yeah, it was good. And Matt, where can they find it?
Shiftandsteer.com is the website as usual. And you can follow me at Moderator on all the social medias.
Yeah. Aaron, Double A Ron?
Double A Ron has not been posting lately because, nothing really interesting.
He's all posted out after the Alaska trip, doing 9 videos a day.
To be honest,
he had no room in his phone.
I'm getting ready to move. I bought 50 used bins and I should have known better. They didn't smell like weed till I got them home and they got warm. And I'm like, oh man, these were used for weed. So now I'm trying to air them out. It sucks. And I fell out of the rafters 8 feet. So I'm all broken boned all over the place. And anyway, you can find all that and more at anywhere at Aaron Hagar.
All right. Sounds like the move's off to a good start.
Please check it out. And as Matt said earlier in the show, you can see that Van Halen car and the stuff from that charity.
And the Motion Vega.
And the Motion Vega at Bradley_Fanshawe. And hey, I posted a bunch of new stuff up at Win Brad stuff because I want people to take Brad stuff, just not for free. But I've got a lot of cool Vision Streetwear stuff.
Yeah, you do.
And a bunch more coming, and a bunch. I'm digging down into the boxes I actually didn't even know I had with some really cool old NOS shirts and some, you know, really cool stuff. So holidays are coming. You can buy it right there. And we'll be back next week. And as always, that's a promise, not a threat.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.